Well, you know what really blessed my heart this morning? You know, Pastor David, what really blessed my heart is you being so comfortable coming to the altar, praising God. I mean, just so comfortable, like you're already part of us. Like, it just felt so part of the family. It really did. Just the freedom to worship the Lord together. That really blessed my heart, young people. And I just thank you for trusting us and for just doing that and just worshiping the Lord, setting a tone for what the Spirit of God's going to do. So thank you so much. That was awesome. And I really, really appreciate that. Praise the Lord. You ready to get into the Word? Amen. Amen. I got 15 minutes, so that's not going to work out. So, all right. Everyone have their sermon notes with them? Let's see. Raise them out. Let me see. Let's see. Wave. All right. I don't see any in the middle here. Okay. There they are. Okay. They were just... All right. The title, we've been doing a series on Don't Lose Your Passion. Everyone has passion for something. Don't lose your passion for God. And we've talked about not losing your passion for the calling of God. Don't lose your passion for being empowered by God. Don't lose your passion to serve. Don't lose your passion for souls. We've gone through many, many series. But today I want to focus on don't ever lose your passion to pray. You know that prayer is a powerful weapon. Amen? We have a weapon in prayer where we get to see God's hand move on our behalf. It's powerful. And sometimes when we don't see the answers come right away, we wonder if it's that powerful after all. But this service today is about to remind you that prayer is a powerful, powerful thing that we have. And God hears us. And don't ever doubt that. Even when you don't see something with your eyes, it doesn't mean we have to ever doubt that our prayers are heard by God. Amen. And that's what this lesson is about today, this sermon. Powerful prayer. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is where the battles are won. That's where they're won. In order to keep a passion to pray, we must believe in the power of prayer. You know, if everyone in the Rio Grande Valley heard that there was going to be a service, right, at the new arena over there, where that new one they built, right, over there at Bert Ogden, yeah. How many does that seat? 10,000 maybe? Something like that? If everyone in the Rio Grande Valley heard and they were guaranteed that if they showed up to this prayer meeting that all your prayers would be answered instantly, how many people you think would show up? We wouldn't be able to hold them in 10,000. I can guarantee you that. But if you think about it, we have that promise. And yet not everybody's showing up all over the churches, right? Filling them all up. We have that promise in God's word for us. Amen? Would you start feeling your faith arise? You know, like, wait, that can happen. Miracles can happen. Signs and wonders can happen. Words of knowledge, the gifts of the Spirit, prophetic words. It's all part of how God operates in His church. The truth is, according to Scripture, if we believe, then our prayers are as good as answered. It's not a suggestion, it's a promise. It's time to believe. And it's time to have passion to pray and believe. The Bible says, make your requests be known unto God. So last week, there was a tremendous demonstration of God's power last week in a way that was different, right? Like, well, that was different. God moved in a mighty, mighty way. A tangible presence. And there was prophetic declarations and prayer for healing, prayer for prophetic words about miracles on the horizon. I believe God is on the move. I feel like we've been guarding the door waiting for a special guest, and the special guest is arriving, and we need to say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Do what you do. Amen? Amen. It's time for us to welcome the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. Amen. And it feels like there's like a beginning of that movement of his power and his presence to make it clear to us. So the main point today is passion to pray to our loving God is what we need to see the hand of God make a way where there seems to be no way. We just have to believe that all things are possible. So turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, verse 20. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, there's this story where, well, let's just read it. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Wow. Howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer, but by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And then, you know, he prophesies his death. Very interesting story. First of all, when they asked Jesus, why weren't we able to do this in your name? And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. Now, I read that and I was like, wait a minute. They were praying. I'm assuming they believed something because they were praying for it. Or why would they even bother, right? So I was like, wait a minute. But you know, in the church, we can get like this where we go through the motions, but down deep inside, there's unbelief. And when Jesus seemed a little bit frustrated with the disciples. He says there in verse 17, he says, how long am I going to have to be with you, faithless and perverse generation? How long am I going to have to be here and show you what faith is, believing? So in reading this scripture, I think it is challenging the church. It's not about knowing in your mind that the Word of God is true and this and that and the prayers get answered and God works in signs and wonders. It's not about knowing that. It's about living it, believing it really down in your core. You know, as I was, I talked last week about doing some research on our founder in the 20s during some of the early revival times that she was a part of. She would go up to people to pray for them, and she would say, will you join me in believing that this is going to happen? And I thought about that for a second. It's like, when you pray for people, it's not about the person praying. We know God does all the work, right, for signs and wonders, for miracles. He does all the work. But it does take parties that believe, right? It takes people to believe. And I read a story where she healed through prayer. God healed through her four people in a wheelchair, but the fifth person wouldn't get up. And she's like, you won't believe? And she's like, well, no, I can't. And she said, well, I guess I can't do the work. In other words, we got to not just know, but believe without a shadow of a doubt that God hears us and he answers our prayers. Period. Amen? And that's the word of God. And that's what happened here. He says, if you just had the faith, the seed, the size of a mustard seed, you will see God's power move with signs and wonders. And you know, that doesn't happen because we want to see signs and wonders, or we're chasing signs and wonders. But the reason God does amazing things and he answers amazing prayers is because it demonstrates his power. And when his power begins to be demonstrated in a community, in a church, in a city, in a country, people get saved. People come to him. And at the end of the day, God is all about no one should perish. He wants all to come to him. Right? And that's why we do these mission things that we do, because we want God to show up and for people to see what he's doing, what he can do, what he will do for them. So turn to your scriptures, to John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. So you need to underline these in your Bible. If you're praying for something and you're believing and you're not seeing and you're like, well, what's going on? Could you come back to these scriptures? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that thy Father may be glorified in the Son. Why will Jesus do them? Glorify his Father. The word of God is truth, and he will defend his word. So whenever you have any doubt, you go back to the scripture. Say, Jesus said, I could do what he did and more. In Mark chapter 11, verse 20, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast out into the sea, and shall not no doubt in his heart, and have no doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We get a little more hint about what believing means in this scripture. It doesn't just say believe. If you believe, it says have no doubt in your heart. So from a scale of zero doubt to 100% doubt, no doubt. If you believe and have no doubt, it is done. According to the scriptures we're reading right here. This is the authority of God. This is the word of God. Have no doubt. Have no doubt. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is, have no doubt. It may seem impossible to you. It says in the Bible that he will fulfill the desires of your heart. As long as your desires aren't sinful, right, or selfish, like that desire to have a Lamborghini, you know, that kind of desire, Corvette. But it's a desire of your heart that's godly. It will come to pass. Have no doubt. And this is always risky for a pastor to start preaching about this. Like, well, okay, now let's see some evidence, right? Well, that's not my job. Don't put the pressure on yourself like that. Don't put your pressure on yourself. Well, if I pray and nothing happens, I guess I'm going to look bad. It is not your job to have the power. It is your job to be an instrument of the Most High God and the power of God. So don't, I'm not afraid. We can pray. If there's a miracle, we can pray. And if it doesn't happen, I'm not taking the blame. It takes belief. Amen. It takes no doubt. Amen? Amen? No doubt, church. No doubt. It's all here. There should be packed churches all over this Rio Grande Valley full of people praying for those things that they are in need of. But there's a lot of doubt within the church. There's a lot of doubt. And I really feel that God's getting our attention. Don't lose your passion for this stuff. Don't lose your passion for souls. Don't lose your passion for your calling. Don't lose your passion for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't lose your passion for signs and wonders and for praying Don't lose it. Verse 24, there I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So why does it seem like some prayers don't get answered? The elephant in the room question, right? Why does it seem like some of my prayers don't get answered? Again, it's not my fault. Well, it could be if we're not believing together, right? God said it. It's done. But we do have some guidance here out of God's word of some things that can hold the answer to prayer. So you got to really listen. Because you have to remove these barriers and pray and then know it will happen. But you got to remove these barriers because they're here in Scripture. What did he say in verse 25? If you have an ought against someone else, you're going to be in a holding pattern on your prayers. Amen? Amen? It says if you don't forgive others or you have bitterness or you're holding on to something, you need to let it go, forgive, you need to move on and leave it in God's hands. Revenge is mine, says the Lord, right? So if someone did something against you, forgive them, care for them, feed them. The Bible says, right, do this to your enemies. So sometimes we may not be getting that answer to prayer because if we're honest with ourselves, we're holding a little something of this in our hearts. So it's time to remove the barriers, because the promises are awesome. It's not worth holding that grudge if it's holding the answer to prayer. Is it? It's not worth it. It's not worth to hold that bitterness, that unforgiveness, if it's holding back the answer to prayer. And that's clearly what it's stated in verse 25 and 26 of Mark. In James, what else can be a barrier? In James chapter 4, verse 3. In James chapter 4, verse 3. What else can be a barrier? If you ask because you ask amiss, that it may consume it upon your lusts, you're not going to get an answer to prayer when you're asking for selfish reasons, right? That's why that prayer you've been having about the lottery ticket and winning it probably hasn't happened yet, right? Right? Because you can take this word to the extreme and say, it said, if I believe. And see, those motives are not all in order, are they? You see, God, his word is truth. It's truth. And the only things really holding back our prayers are bitterness, unforgiveness, sin that we're not dealing with. See, let me just be clear about this. We're all sinners. Sin in itself doesn't hold back prayer. You won't read that in Scripture. But not dealing with it and not being honest with God about it and holding it and letting it hold on to you, that's a different story, right? We need to pray about that. We need to be delivered. So don't remove the barriers. And once you can settle in your heart that the barriers are removed, Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to not hold bitterness. Help me to love people. Help when you can honestly in your heart say, I've removed that in my life, then you can go pray and say, it is done. It is done. And that's exciting. That's exciting. One more thing before I close on this. It can get complicated, but I want to keep it simple when it comes to when God answers prayer, when he doesn't. The simplicity of it is this: remove those barriers, and God's going to answer your prayer. That's it. It's simple. But there are some times, and we have examples of that in the Scripture, when you pray for a desire, and 5 years later, you no longer have that desire. And you change your desire to something else. Right? That sometimes happens too, but we won't get too into that. But keep that in mind. Sometimes you think that's what you need, and God's about to change the desires of your heart, and it can change. But He knows better. He knows better. So remove all the barriers. That's kind of how I want to end this today. Because I want your prayers to be answered. I believe that what happened last week, the prophecies, the healings, the prayers, I know that God heard them. And I know He's at work. There's no doubt that God can do anything. As you know, I have a prayer, my wife and I, with my son, right, that we all know and believe that we need God to intervene. So I'm not preaching to you this by some authority that I know better. I'm living this. I'm living this. And I choose to believe without doubt that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Nothing. And to God will be all the glory. I'm going to end with this little story, and then I want to pray this way. Start thinking about it. If you have things in your heart, and Michelle, you'll start getting ready to play here. If you have things in your heart that maybe some bitterness, and don't, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. I don't know if you noticed, but it's kind of human nature to hold grudges and be bitter. It's not. Means you're a horrible person, but I want the opportunity. I want today for you to have the opportunity to remove anything, any barrier to those prayers that you have. And I want to, as we're going to have an altar call, and if you have something, someone hurt you, so there's bitterness there, and there's unforgiveness there, my prayer today is that barrier is completely removed. And all your prayers are going to go like, as the word says, mustard seed of faith, and you can move a mountain. But let's do that. And I feel this is an important thing today. And if it's no one, that's fine. If it's more than one, 10, 20, it doesn't. But the point is that God wants to answer our prayers. So this little story, as Michelle begins to get ready and play, God had just done a work in my life. I was a teenager, late teenage years, and God had, I told the story before, but some of you haven't heard it, so that's okay. I was a teenager, and God had just got a hold of my life, and I was so excited. Wow, God's really moving. And one of the things that me and my brother loved to do was play our trumpets in church when we were younger. Now we only do it on Christmas until our lips run out. So we can't play them anymore. But every Christmas, we try to play a Christmas song. And that's like a tradition for us. Because it brings back a lot of memories to us with all our childhood. And we enjoyed playing. And we were playing. But I had graduated from high school. Well, I didn't have any money. So the trumpet that I had belonged to the school. I didn't have money to buy one. So it belonged to the school. And over the summer, the band director was really nice to me. He let me keep it. But he said, you got to turn it in at some point because it's not yours. So August came along. You know, band camp starts again in August, right? And he gives me a call. I need that trumpet back. Oh, no. Okay, I got to turn it in. Turned it in. Came back to church. Shared it with a few people. You have a prayer request? Yeah, I need to buy a trumpet. And some of you know, even back then, trumpets were new ones, $750 at the lowest. Now they're probably $1,000 at the lowest, $750. And so many of you know the story. There was a evangelist that came on a Wednesday night and preached. And I had just started going to Wednesday night services because God got a hold of my life. And I'm like, I'm going to be in every church service now. I'm going Wednesdays, Sundays. And I went to a Wednesday night service, and she preached. And you know, when evangelists go to churches and they get an offering, that's almost how they make their living, right? They get offerings, and that's how they go from church to church. Well, after the offering, I was playing on the keyboard. And she doesn't know anything about my trumpet, by the way. I'm playing the keyboard, and she says, don't know. I just, the Lord told me to give you this, the offering for that Wednesday night. Well, it wasn't a big church. We were like 20 people there probably. And I just was in awe, and I thanked her, and I counted, and it was $73. And I was like, well, this isn't going to get me there, because in my heart I already knew that's for the trumpet, because that's what I've been praying for. That's what I knew it was for. I had no doubt. But I was like, $73? What, you can buy a fake one or, you know, a toy one. So a brother, Ferris, in the church at that time, who's gone to be with the Lord, a pawn shop expert. He knew pawn shops. He knew every pawn shop, what device they had at every pawn shop. He went around all the pawn shops. And he said, hey, I heard you're looking for a trumpet. I said, yeah. I said, here's $73. If you need more, just let me know how much it costs, and I'll, you know, whatever. And I said this to him, by the way, I also, if you get one, I need a handkerchief, because as a trumpet player, you have to keep wiping the brass, you know, technicalities, right? The trumpet players worry about. And he goes, comes back on a Sunday, he says, guess what? I have your trumpet in the car. What? And I said, well, how much do I owe you? He says it was $72, and he charged me $1 for the little hanky. $73. I still have that trumpet today. I should have planned to play it for you right now. I could have just played Amazing Grace, and that would have been awesome. That would have been cool. Still play it today, this day. It's the one my brother and I use when we play together. I tell you that story, I have these flashbacks. He answers prayer. He cares. Signs and wonders are not happening the way they should, not because God doesn't want to, but because we get into our cycles of going through the motions. Church, it's time to believe. It's time to believe anything is possible. So we're gonna have an altar call. If there's something in your heart, you just get rid of it. The barriers, grudges, bitterness, unforgiveness, some sin that has a hold of you. Today's the day. And once we finish with this prayer, you're going to be free. And all your prayers, you go back tonight. You're going to have to go back tonight and go like, what are all those outstanding prayer requests? Because barriers are gone. His word is truth. They're going to come to pass. Amen? So close your eyes, bow your heads. If that's you today, we're just going to come to the altar and pray together and believe together. Heavenly Father, this word is your word. You said if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could do amazing, amazing, amazing things. I believe that with all my heart. Believe that. Lord, but you did show us there are barriers to answered prayer. And Lord, today, if there's anyone here, Lord, we just pray that today is the day. Today is a day that things change, that our prayers go full force, full throttle to be answered. So if that's you in the count of three, I want you to come. Don't be embarrassed. It's time. It's time. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, come to the altar. We're going to pray. Get these barriers removed and believe that anything is possible. Anybody hurt you? Or wronged you? This is a big moment. This is a big moment. This is, remember when I said if we could have an auditorium full of people, they just knew their prayer would be answered today. It's that moment. It's that moment right now to remove all the barriers, and your prayer is answered and done. In Jesus' name.